Thank you for listening in to The Week on Dalal Street, our weekly stock market podcast. I'm Santosh Nair, and over the next 15 minutes, I'll be picking Anuj Singhal's thoughts on the market action during the week, key trends, and what to keep an eye out for in the week ahead. Anuj, as always, a pleasure to be chatting with you.
Santosh, always good to be chatting with you, and look forward to this conversation.
So, Anuj, traditionally, October has not been a good month for stock market bulls globally. We discussed this a couple of times earlier also. In India, however, we are seeing bulls go from strength to strength this month so far. Your thoughts, Anuj, as we are nearing the psychologically crucial 18,000 mark, more so considering that since March, the index has been making lower highs every time it rebounded.
No, I think this market has been very strong, Santosh, and I think this is a market in which there's been a lot of disbelief. There's been a lot of shorting. I think there's been a lot of selling. And I think the market just ignored everything and the market just moved on. I think it's been by far the strongest market that I've seen because so much has been thrown at this market, whether it's FI selling in cash market, whether it's FI shorting in the futures market, whether it's the weak global cues, the Chinese markets falling like 9 pence almost daily, the US markets, they have also rebounded, though off late there's been some volatility because of earnings. Overall, my sense is that India has been the best performing market, Santosh, and on all time frames. I'm talking about the near-term time frame of last 1 month. Year-to-date, if you look at the Indian market, if you look at Indian markets from a 5-year perspective, 10-year perspective, 15-year perspective, we have been ranked outperformers. So I think this is just phenomenal. My sense is that a lot of people are throwing in the towel now. And this is a market which now has a minor hump between 17,800 to 18,000. The Bank Nifty is very close to all-time high. So I think the only sort of problem for the market is IT because that continues to see selling on every rally. But otherwise, a very strong market. And I think it's a matter of when and not if even the FIs come back. That might lead to a bit of a parabola phase in the market.
Anuj, what are the cues that you're picking up from the derivative segment? FIs are 59% long on index futures at the start of the November series compared to October when they were just 13% long on the market. We saw a very powerful rally when FIs were short in the October series. So what should we expect this time?
I think, like I said this morning, this time the market may give you some selling opportunities as well, like it did this morning. This morning, a sell on rally trade played out beautifully. The first morning rally was sold into. The Nifty fell almost 100 points. The Bank Nifty fell 500 points. And then we had that miraculous last hour recovery against Santosh. By the way, that's one more pattern which has been playing out in the market. Every day between 3 to 3.30, there's a rally in the market. Almost everyone prepares for a gap up. That there will be a gap up, which will be a selling opportunity. Intraday, the market does nothing or actually cools off from the highs. And then at 3 o'clock, bulls come back. I think November may not be as strong as October simply because we do not have any shorts in the system now. When October started, market was so short, heavily shorted. Almost everyone expected markets to revisit the previous lows and the markets was having none of it. So now, you know, we spoke about the fact that retail has been winning over FIs, you know, almost every time. And this was fourth time that it happened. But now we have a situation where both FIs and retail are net long in the market. So my sense is that the market needs to consolidate, cool off a bit. I think a fresh entry point would be somewhere around 17,500 on the Nifty and somewhere around 40,500 on the Bank Nifty.
Now, a 75 basis points rate hike by the Fed at its meeting next week appears to be a given. The European Central Bank has raised rates too. What's the market thinking, Anuj? Will the RBI announce an out-of-turn hike before its scheduled meeting in December?
I think this is something which even I thought about. Is there a risk of that happening? Though I was told that this meeting, this out-of-turn MPC is only to answer Parliament about the inflation. Nothing else, nothing on that. So, but hey, you can't rule it out, Santosh. The differential between the US rates and Indian rates right now is at an all-time low. Okay, so either the US rates need to come down or the Indian rates need to go up. My sense is the latter. I think there's still room for Indian rates to go up. I think the bond market, the money market, the G-Sec market has already started to price in another maybe 75 to 100 basis point rate hike in total by the RBI. So whether it will happen before policy, I don't know. Honestly, it won't matter. But the RBI clearly would not want to be. RBI has had a credibility issue. It's always seen as something which is ahead of the curve. I think we went through a phase in which RBI fell slightly behind the curve. And I think the last out-of-turn policy rate hike, they sort of managed to address that. I think they will do what it takes to sort of have that credibility stay there. So I won't rule out a rate hike, yeah.
And what are you making of the quarterly numbers that have come in so far? Banking clearly has been an outperformer. To an extent, banks have benefited from rising rates as well, as besides strong demand for loans. Now, do you see any risk to demand and therefore earnings if rates continue to rise at this pace? And also, I wanted your thoughts on ICICI Bank, which has now become the bellwether of the banking sector.
Okay, since you've asked specifically on banking, I'll answer that as well. But before that, since you asked me on earnings overall, Santosh...
I think I clubbed just too many questions.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But I'll tell you why I want to answer that first. Because in our podcast, we had discussed, I think, 2 or 3 months back, that commodity users... will see good results while commodity producers will see poor numbers. And I think that's something that you saw with Maruti's numbers. And I think the way the Maruti stock, despite already being very close to 52-week high, kept rallying on despite pre-positioning and didn't stop even after the numbers, is telling you a thing or two about what kind of numbers markets now expect from these two sets. One is commodity producers, where you're seeing... consistent decline, and one is commodity users. In case of Maruti, the percentage of raw materials as percentage of sales has come down from the peak of 83-84% to 76%, and that's resulted in the net its margins going up from 4% at the bottom to around 9%. Now, can this 9% go to 15%? Just imagine the kind of EPS growth that it will lead to. That's why Maruti was up the way it was. On the banking front, I think it's been very clear on banking front that they have done most of the provisioning. I think barring one or two here or there like Bandhan Bank, etc., which will keep coming out with their own provisioning issues, banking as a sector has dealt with the worst of the NPA issues in this cycle. There will be another cycle and there will be another NPA, which we won't know right now. We'll only know with the benefit of hindsight. But the road for the next 6 or 8 quarters is absolutely clear for the banks, and that's why you're seeing the banks and the Bank Nifty. You know which was this week's best performing index? Nifty PSU Bank. And which was last week's best performance? Nifty PSU Bank. It's telling you something, right?
Well, and particularly on ICICI Bank, your thoughts on which is now becoming the bellwether.
I think ICICI Bank is the bellwether, and I think ICICI Bank will soon be a 4-digit stock, Santosh. I think
that's not too far.
It's not very far.
Barely 10%. Now.
Yeah. So I think the kind of re-rating that you've seen in ICICI Bank, I think some more is left. It won't surprise me if one of the day in 2023, ICICI Bank overtakes HDFC Bank in terms of its price to book as well. So far, even Kotak, maybe ICICI Bank overtakes Kotak as well. Of course, the only good thing with Kotak is that its subsidiaries are still with it, while ICICI Bank has listed its subsidiaries, right? So that's another reason that Kotak... So Kotak may be a slightly different ballgame altogether, but ICICI Bank might one day just trade above HDFC Bank's price to book valuation and actually might get 4 times price to book in FY23. I think Mr. Bakshi has done a remarkable job with ICICI Bank, and this is a clear case study of how you can just, you know, stay focused on your job without being too flamboyant, without being, you know, having any need to be on media. Mr. Bakshi hasn't been on any media ever since his taken over, right? So I think phenomenal case study.
Well, the numbers from HUL, Dabur and Tata Consumer Products clearly point to demand weakness in the rural markets. Anuj, what does this tell you about the overall macro picture? And do you see this trend having a bearing on some of the other sectors as well going forward?
Yeah, this constant chatter that India is doing better than Bharat, Santosh, I think numbers bear that out. That urban market clearly is doing far better than the rural market. But there lies the opportunity. More and more rural is turning into urban. More and more small cities are turning into bigger cities. More and more B and C cities are no longer B and C cities. They're turning into the urban centers or metro centers by their own sort of right. So I think perhaps for the rural pain, and I'm a bit surprised because given the government's impetus on rural And given the government's focus on rural development, by now I think we should have seen polarization go away. But it's there, so it's okay. I mean, that tells you that in the rural side, there is some opportunity.
And the lock-in period for pre-IPO investors in Nykaa, Policy Bazaar, Paytm and Delivery ends at various times during next month. Now, understandably, there's some bit of nervousness in the market about these stocks, and good reason, because you saw Zomato shares really plunge when the pre-IPO investor lock-in period ended. Now, in this case, are the fears overdone? How would you look at these stocks, considering that they've already been underperforming for quite some time?
No, I think the fears are not overdone, Santosh, because Nykaa, despite all its fall, is still very close to its IPO price. I mean, it's not very far from its IPO price, right? Zomato also, when it started falling, took a long time to actually breach its IPO price. And after that, it declined further. The issue is that some of the pre-IPO investors, for example, in case of Nykaa, would be sitting at their investments at 100 rupees or 120 rupees or 150 rupees. For them, it's still a 4-bagger or a 5-bagger. And they would want to lock in some profit. So obviously, they would be selling. I mean, and that's why the market is preempting that. I can tell you one thing, though. I mean, in case of Zomato also, look, on the last 2 months, the big trade in Zomato came on the buy side. It went to 42, 43. After that lock-in got over and we had a couple of block deals. But from 43 to 65, 66, it made a very sharp move in a matter of 1 month or so, which was around a 40% move from the lows. And I think that is one reason which I always believe. I don't buy this nonsense that people keep peddling that, time in the market is more important than timing the market. I mean, if that is the case, look at Maruti, for example. You could have bought 5 years back and today you would be making zero. Or you would have bought last year and you would be already more than doubling your money.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, Gokal Das Exports is another example. If you were an IPO investor in 2005, you are sitting at zero gains right now. But if you bought in last year, you are sitting at a 10-bagger. So, timing is very important in the market. And that is why if you place your bets well, I think the time will come to buy Nykaa, Paytm, etc. when there will be panic. If there is a panic because of these. And if actually one or two block deals happen. Because whoever has to sell will sell in that round. And after that, I think there will be clean play.
Now, Bharat Electronics' second quarter numbers were disappointing. Do you see that as a one-off or a sign that probably earnings growth may have peaked for the time being? Anuj, your assessment of the overall defense sector, you think there's still steam left after the big gains in 2022 so far?
Look, I mean, I think with companies like BEL, I think you should not go by one quarter or so. I think defense clearly is emerging as a big secular play, Santosh. There are large orders coming up for defense. Execution, I think, remains the key. I think with PSU companies, that's the issue. Execution at times becomes patchy. Because, sometimes they come out with really great numbers. BEL last quarter came out with phenomenal numbers. I think was the stock of the quarter, last quarter. And this quarter, they've come out with a poor number. So, it will happen. But as long as the overall trajectory is still good, my sense is the overall trajectory is still very good for defense. But it's sort of tough to buy stocks after they've gone up 2x, 3x in a very short period of time, something like an Hindustan Aeronautics. The another risk in some of these defense companies would be that most of them are PSUs. So at some point, the government may want to take its own share by using an OFS mechanism and all, but you can never time that. You have to buy these stocks with the knowledge that a risk like this exists.
Okay, Anuj, your quick take on these three stocks, Tata Chemicals, SBI Cards and Tata Elxsi.
I think Tata Chemicals came out with a really good set of numbers, but it tells you once again that in commodity companies, always, whenever they come out with the best set of numbers, it's time to sell. Because you never know whether it's peak earnings or not. Because, see, I have no doubt in my mind that Tata Chemicals will come back. Okay, what you saw today or Friday was essentially just this theory playing out, that if you assume spectacular numbers from a commodity company and since the pre-positioning was already there, it's ran up from 220 thereabout to about 1100 or so. Take some money home, come back and see if the earnings were peak earnings or not. I think that's on Tata Chemicals. I think on SBI Card, Santosh, the market's been a bit disappointed that, being the pure card play, it perhaps has not caught on the kind of imagination that, you know, it looked like when it came out with the IPO. When it came out with the IPO, everyone thought that this is going to be the next great company. But somehow it's sort of failed to deliver on that promise. But I think it's still a company which has a lot of promise. I think some of the products are really good. Some of the tie-ups are really good. There's always this comfort of SBI, right? So I think that's what I would say on SBI cards. I think Tata Elxsi is in a different sort of... it's a kind of a stock which has seen this earlier as well. From 300, it rallied to, I think, 6,000. Then it corrected back to 2,000, if my memory serves me right. And then from 2,000, it rallied back to 10,000. And from 10,000, it's corrected now to where it's corrected. But I think Tata Elxsi is in a niche space, artificial intelligence, automotive space. I think the spaces which are doing well. So it will still remain an outperformer in the space.
Now, Anuj, an interesting comment made by renowned US fund manager David Einhorn. Now, in a recent interview to Bloomberg, he said that value investors are being put out of business. And it said that most investors are now into passive investing or quantitative investing, quant investing, as you call it. Nobody knows what these businesses are worth. Now, Anuj, are we seeing some kind of a similar shift in market structure in India too? Because a lot of money now seems to be moving into passive investments. Quant investing is also catching the imagination of many of these youngsters. Mm. So is it kind of the end of the road for value investing in India also?
You know, since this is a bit of a googly question, I'll give you a bit of a googly answer. You've seen the movie Lagan, right? In that, Amir Khan says that, look, I mean, the world is changing. And we earlier used to wrestle on sand. And now we're moving to that astroturf or that synthetic turf. So his brother asked, what is that? So he said, in Hindi, he said, gadda. Hmm. So then he answers, bhai saab, gadde to gadde hote hain. Humare paas bhi to hain. So it's like, you know... See, investing will remain investing. It's not going to change. I think a lot of people have started using ETFs because they believe that a fund manager is not doing justice to the kind of expenses that they're paying. You know, if you pay expenses to the fund manager, you expect to beat market handsomely. And most of the fund managers are unable to beat the index itself. In case of India, though, I must say that active fund managers have done a remarkable job. India is one country in which active fund managers have beaten index handsomely. Of course, there are some which have underperformed as well, but then that will happen in every market, right?
True.
So I think in India, while passive investment is picking up, I think people still trust a lot of people with their money. I think that is the reason that you're seeing a lot of advisory business still doing well, despite, you know, all the acquisitions of what's happening in that business. I think this is the reason why mutual funds keep seeing the kind of inflows they're seeing. Equity-related mutual funds keep seeing the kind of inflows they're seeing. And yes, some of it is ETF-driven, pure ETF-driven. I, for example, invest via ETF, but I also have a fund in which a fund manager is actively managing my money. So I think it will be a combination of both in the case of India.
So, Anuj, what do you have on your watch list for the week ahead?
What everyone has, Santosh, there's an FOMC meet, there's that MPC, which happens right after that. The earnings season will enter the last lap, and normally you have the underperformers come out with the numbers in the last lap, so that's something to keep an eye on. And after that, I think this week, the next week becomes even more important. You have the US midterm elections. I think US midterm elections are very important. I'll also be watching out for whether Elon Musk restores Donald Trump's Twitter account just ahead of election. I think that would be also something very interesting to track.
Well, as always, Anuj, it was a pleasure chatting with you.
It was good fun to have this chat with you, Santosh, and good to have that googly thrown in as well.
Well, and that's all that we have in this episode of The Week on Dalal Street. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week ahead.
Thank you, listeners, and have a great weekend.